much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hi, everybody! Wow, it sure is great to see ya! Because today, I want to show you something brand new at the clubhouse. I think you're really going to like it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I'll be back every year. Everybody wants to cheer. White beard and Christmas hat, my reindeers. Just like that, I ring-a-ling-a-ling, ring-a-ling-a-ling with my Christmas bell. I'm Santa Claus. I'm Santa Claus.
Guess who that was? Yes, that was, you're right. That was Cherie Curry and her sister Marie Curry under the name of Cherie and Marie Curry doing Messing with the Boys. Of course, Cherie Curry from The Runaways. And both of the sisters, it's their birthday today. Cherie and Marie, happy birthday.
And now...
He didn't hear it from me, but it's a surprise.
Our feature presentation.
He didn't hear it from me.
I love him right? So much.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin Abeen Show. It is 5:35, and it's Wednesday, the 10th of Double December.
So... How's it going?
Good. Why do you say it like that?
Yeah, like, well, I survived the storm. I'm just wondering how you guys are doing.
Oh, it's fine here.
Oh, our storm's coming.
It's beautiful here.
We're getting out the sandbags.
Hasn't hit yet.
Yeah.
Still on the way. Okay. Yeah. All right. So you've still got a few hours to live before it all goes to hell.
So I take it you did not step in a puddle.
I did not step in a puddle. I did not open an umbrella and have it fold inside out.
Did you charge your
green tea and red tea? I charged my iPad, my iPhone.
You were ready.
Okay.
Oh, well, I got the warning from Frankie.
Excellent.
Got an email yesterday from a listener in Sydney, Nova Scotia, where Frankie, the weatherman we were talking about yesterday, where he lives, and she was just tickled. She was just so delighted to hear him on a station in Los Angeles. He's a little bit of a sensation up there.
It's going to be a ton of rain. And high winds in Seattle, Washington, and this storm will also continue on to Wednesday, December 10th.
Love him.
I love him, too. Anyway, so I survived, so I wish the best for you.
Thank you.
Here's an interesting story to get us going here on this Wednesday morning. I like from time to time. I think it's always fun, and I'm sure you've done this too, Kevin, where you're out at a diner or something like that, and you see somebody who you think, hey, that person could use a little help, and as a surprise, maybe you pick up their tab for dinner.
Right.
I like to do that a few times a year. You know, it's a veteran or it's an old person or it's somebody with a bunch of kids, and you go, wow, it'd just be a nice surprise for them to get a little free meal. Well, I can't do that anymore. That's done. Those days, I can't be that
Why?
Guy. Because it's been spoiled by a couple of a-holes. A couple of a-holes in Arkansas. Gary and his wife, Roxanne, who just bought a car for their Cracker Barrel waitress. So now the bar has been raised.
Oh, my God.
Wait, they bought a car?
They bought her a car. They have been, they've only known her since this summer, but they're fairly regular diners to the Cracker Barrel in Branson, Missouri. They're from Arkansas, but I guess they live nearby the border. So they go to that Cracker Barrel, and Cindy Grady is the waitress there. And they had noticed, they had seen her arrive one day for work, and they said the car she was driving honestly looked abandoned. It was in such bad shape. It had been involved in several accidents. Apparently, this waitress has had bad luck hitting deer.
Oh,
wow.
My
so
God.
The car was in bad shape. So the man, Mr. Tackett, said, I talked with my wife about it, and I said, something has to be done. So over Thanksgiving weekend, on the Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend, they went to the Cracker Barrel, and the woman was the waitress, and the couple had the manager take her outside. The waitress says, my boss told me to have someone else deliver my food on the tray and follow her outside. She never does this during a breakfast rush on a Saturday morning, so I was positive I was in trouble. When she led me outside instead of to the office, I was thinking, oh boy, this must be really bad if she can't even tell me in the restaurant. So she's convinced she's going to get fired or she's going to get arrested or something.
Yeah.
She steps outside, and the waitress spots Tackett and his wife standing near a silver 2008 Ford Fusion with a big red bow on it. It began – just like you see in the commercial, by the way. I didn't know anyone who actually got a car with a bow on it. It began dawning on her that perhaps she wasn't in trouble after all. We'd been watching you drive that old car all summer long. We decided that you needed something better. Merry Christmas.
That is just – unbelievable.
Wait, unbelievable, right?
Wait, so you're going to use that story to never be well, generous clearly, again?
Because now I look like a dick. Now I'm a cheapskate.
Well, I'm pretty.
Because now that the person, whoever gets the, you know, the veteran that gets the meal, he's like, no car?
Right? I think you're assuming he knows the story, but that
well,
would be funny.
I mean, that who doesn't like to stay current, you know? Cindy Grady, by the way, who has a son with disabilities, told us she was, the Huffington Post reporting the article, that she was totally surprised by the Tackett's gift. She said it was the best tip ever, bar none. I hadn't the faintest clue that the gift was coming. Of course, I hoped to replace the car sometime, but money has been a problem. I never dreamed I would own a car this nice. And here's the finale. God says we are supposed to love one another and help each other out, but I've never experienced that love from total strangers. I hope someday to pay it forward, and maybe I can show someone else who is feeling all alone what it's like to feel a stranger's love.
I'm about teary-eyed.
How's that for a story to get you started?
That's pretty cool. Along with your announcement that you're no longer going to be generous.
Well, everyone else because, is going to starve because of that.
Because
okay.
Because of car.
Not my problem.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Sounds like you're bragging, but that's just a sad statement.
Michael Chiklis.
Oh, yeah.
Love him.
We'll be here.
Love him, too.
Yeah.
He is the best. He's on American Horror Story.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He's also on Sons of Anarchy last night. Spoiler alert, sorry. we also have Chris D'Elia, comedian in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
We have Bean's, I guess, second favorite human being of all time.
Yeah, Mr. Skin is number two. Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's justified. He certainly has put in the work. He's put in the man hours to make the world a better place.
Just for those of you that don't listen a lot, Weird Al is number one for Bean.
Yes.
And then Mr. Skin. Speaking of Bean, we do top tens at the end of the year, and we have top 10 Bean tweets.
How dare you?
Why do I feel like
those aren't going to be the 10 best tweets?
How do we pick?
How do we pick?
That's a good question because, I don't know. I think like Chip picked a bunch and then Dave like went through them and cut some out and then he sent them to me and then I cut another 20 out. Like we could do.
It took a team.
We could do the entire show of Bean's tweets. So we're going to try and narrow it down to the top 10.
Okay.
Very excited about that. We have the lead. I don't know. You wouldn't call him singer, would you? Of fart metal.
No, you wouldn't.
Vocalist?
You wouldn't call him that.
Not vocalist. Really a vocalist.
Just the lead.
Just the lead, I guess.
Yeah.
Going to talk to him today on the Kevin and Bean Show. And we've got your tickets for the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Now, you're going to throw down with fart metal, right? Because he says on his video, all of these sounds are real and they all came from my butt.
Yeah,
and you are calling BS on that. No pun intended.
I don't buy it. I think maybe he sampled himself.
Right.
And put it on a keyboard, but I don't.
Maybe that's the distinction. Okay.
I'm not sure I buy that you can actually play different notes with your b-hole.
Okay.
Right?
That's the kind of show this is going to be.
Yep. It's going to be a good one.
All right.
It's going to be a good one. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Flashback Wednesday. Everybody, Flashback Wednesday.
I was wondering about that too, Ralph. No one in the Cure died or anything, right? Because it sure seems like there's a lot of Cure happening on K-Rock lately.
Well, it's Friday, so we play. Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, that's not it.
That's not it either.
Okay. Mm. All right. Enjoyed it, though. Still a good song.
Sure.
Hey, Ralph is here. Time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, congratulations to Michael Baxter. Any relation, Bean? Michael Baxter?
Michael Baxter.
Not that I'm aware of. What did Mr. Baxter do?
Michael Baxter is a 52-year-old prison guard. He's a grandfather in Australia. And he has just nailed a new world record with the Guinness Book of World Records. He is the person with the most cartoon character tattoos.
Oh, interesting.
Michael has 203 characters from The Simpsons tattooed on his back. 203 separate Simpsons characters tattooed on his back.
That's a lot of Simpsons.
He spent 130 hours under the needle to complete the design. And he also has Stewie from Family Guy on his leg. Doll. They're going to get jealous. His back's going to get jealous of his leg.
Can I go back to Kevin's comment again? That's a lot of cartoon characters?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
In fact, it's the most. It's the record for most cartoon character tattoos. That's a guy with a lot of time on his hands. Joaquin Phoenix, congratulations. He is engaged to his yoga instructor. That's what he said during his appearance with David Letterman last week. Then he was on Good Morning America, and he told George Stephanopoulos that he's not getting married. In fact, he's not even engaged. George said, what's that all about? He said, well, I just wanted the audience to like me, and I wanted something exciting to talk about.
So he just made it up?
So he just made it up, yeah.
Because people will applaud that always.
Exactly, right.
That's funny.
Yeah. He's a weird dude.
That's funny. He's so weird.
But I like him. And what's going on in music? Something strange happening in music right now. Maroon 5 has spent some time crashing weddings. Singer and judge on The Voice, Adam Levine, told Access Hollywood that last weekend he and his bandmates just showed up at a few weddings. Crashed where there were wedding bands, took over, played some songs, and then left again. While they filmed the whole thing. He said the brides and grooms loved it.
That's weird.
It's weird, right? And then Duran Duran over the week. We're in the recording studio with Lindsay Lohan and her sister Allie.
What's happening?
They were having them guest on their new album. Lindsay and Allie will be singing along with Simon Levan and Nick Rhodes. Worked together for over 6 hours getting their parts just right. Yeah, I got best they got their parts just right. Apparently it'll be featured on their next album. Guest vocals from Lindsay Lohan and Allie Lohan.
Well, that seems unnecessary.
It's ridiculous.
Why?
How desperate are those guys for good coke that they had to invite the Lohan sisters in the studio just to score?
Allegedly.
And Bob Dylan sings Sinatra has a release date.
I can't wait.
Shadows in the Night is the name of the album. Has Bob crooning 10 Frank Sinatra songs. It will be out on February the 3rd. Regarding singing the Sinatra songs, by the way, it's Dylan said it was recorded live in the studio with one or two takes, no overdubs, just him singing with a five-piece band as backup. What me and my band are basically doing is uncovering them, he says about the songs, lifting them out of the grave and bringing them into the light of day. Hmm. And then sodomizing them.
Hmm.
And then setting them back into the grave. So February 3rd, mark your calendars.
Frank Sinatra considered one of the greatest singers of all time?
Yes, indeed he is.
And Bob Dylan would maybe not be in that part of the range of how we would rank singers and their vocal ability?
I'm saying if it was all in one continuum, if there was a line, and one line it was the greatest singer of all time.
Right.
Right. The other end of that spectrum would probably be the worst singer of all time.
Okay, fair, right. All right.
Bob Dylan, I'm saying, would be at the far end of that spectrum.
Of the worst.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a good... February 3rd.
That's a good idea for an album, Bob.
Today's celebrity birthday.
That's what they go to Bob for, is interpretation of
you
songs.
You want romance. You want to be able to woo your lady by putting on a romantic Dylan album in the background while you're pouring the wine.
Has he gone bye-bye?
Yeah.
I think he's... I don't give an F anymore. I think I can do whatever I want at this point. Hey, I want to put out a Christmas record. Okay.
Kenneth Branagh kicks off celebrity birthdays today. 54 years old. Legendary. Is he a sir? I think he's Sir Kenneth Branagh. Hasn't he been knighted?
I don't
know. Probably.
Shakespearean.
Seems like the type.
Actor.
Man, he's
movie
talented.
Director. Very talented. Can do it all. Chef Bobby Flay is 50. Drummer Meg White is 40 years old today. Emmanuel Shariki is 37. And actress Raven Simone is 29 years old today. So Raven.
Vile.
Say that every year. It never gets old.
It does.
Nope.
Never gets funny.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Oh, it's the most wonderful time of the year. It's a Christmas miracle. It's a holiday treat. The second best human in the world, ladies and gentlemen, just stepped into the Kevin and Bean Studios. Put it together for Mr. Skin.
Mr. Skin.
How you been, Mr. Skin?
Doing great. Yeah, this is a busy time of the year for me. Very
well,
busy.
I know it is. Yeah, because, I mean, how can you not look back at the wonderful 12 months behind us and the year in nudity in movies and in TV shows?
I want to ask you about a couple of things before we get into your list here, if you have some time.
Sure.
MrSkin.com has been, for folks who don't know, has been on the internet for how long now?
Well, we just celebrated our 15th anniversary in August.
Wow.
Yeah, it is. When you think of websites, I mean, we're older than YouTube, MySpace, you know, all that, Facebook. It's pretty incredible. And the thing that's most incredible is in our 15th year, this year has been our best year in our history. And you would think, oh, with all the free stuff out there. Or,
yeah, true.
You know, why would someone go to a website where you have to have a membership? But no, we've been best year ever, which is great.
What do you attribute it to then?
So much more nudity.
Yeah. Interesting.
It's so different now. When I started the website, you had movie nudity. And then, you know, The Sopranos were just starting and there was a few places you could see television nudes. But think about it now. There's original programming on the Starz Network, Cinemax, Showtime, and tons of it.
Yeah.
Then all the commercial TV, to me, that's been the biggest change, where it used to be if there were commercials, no nudity, right? That's how it went.
That was always the rule, yeah.
Now look at FX with the shows on FX. Look at even the Sci-Fi Network. I was telling someone, WGN America has a show called Salem where girls are getting naked. WGN America.
And that's as wholesome and as Midwest as a channel can be.
Exactly. And then not to mention Netflix with Orange is the New Black and House of Cards. You have such a bigger pool where celebrity nudity is happening that there's so much more work. I'm not complaining, but there's so much more stuff to cover for us. So the good news is when we do a top 10 nude scenes of the year list, it's quite a list.
Yeah, indeed. And am I right about this? It seems to me like actresses are more high-profile actresses are willing to do nudity now than ever before.
They have more avenues in which to do it. If you were an up-and-coming actress back in the 70s or 80s, the only real place you could do a nude scene would be in a movie. And you know, it's hard to get into a movie. You could get into a crappy movie and be naked, which a lot of actresses did. Now,
let's not disparage that.
Well, no, hey, listen, it's the heart and soul of our website. But now you have these great television series on a weekly basis that are, in fact, they're almost like, you watch Game of Thrones, an hour of Game of Thrones is like watching a movie. It's good.
It's a prestige project. I mean,
totally.
It's nothing but A+ on your resume.
And there's so many more places for actresses to be on shows like that and the opportunity to be naked. So it's great. Great for business.
USA! 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 You've talked to us in the past, Mr. Skin, about the actresses that people most want to see naked. And I know when we do the top 10 nude scenes of the year, one of those is on the list this year, which is very exciting. But how does something like the celebrity nude photo hack affect the desire? Like, for instance, Jennifer Lawrence is a great example. Less people, fewer people want to see Jennifer Lawrence now because they've kind of seen it already, or does it not affect what goes on at your site or not?
It's possible.
Doesn't affect me.
Yeah, exactly. let me tell you, if Jennifer Lawrence was in a movie and did a full frontal nude scene, are you going to tell me because you might have stumbled across those pictures, you don't want to see that? I don't think so. The big thing, as terrible as that was, and I don't listen, what I do at MrSkin.com is review nudity from movies and television where actresses willingly appear, right? I'm not about posting.
Voluntary and it's legal, exactly.
Right. No, and I'm not about that. But I will say that the traffic to the websites that actually posted that stuff was so overwhelming. It just proves, again, that celebrity nudity is where it's at. As much as people love porn, more than porn, people want to see famous people naked. They'd rather see someone they know than someone they don't know.
Well, look, the two biggest adult videos of all time, aren't they Kim Kardashian and Paris Hilton? Because they're famous people, right?
Right, and there's plenty of women that were maybe more beautiful than them or did stuff more, you know, that was dirtier or crazier.
Or yet have Ray J in front of the camera for 80% of it.
Right, but of course, when it's someone you know or someone that's famous, way more people are going to want to see that versus the same type of scene from someone that's anonymous.
Let's not disparage anonymous either, though.
Take it easy. I'm not happy with your tone.
Mr. Skin is here from MrSkin.com, by the way, a database of 16,500 actress bios, more than 28,500 movie and TV shows review, and they have just put together their top 10 nude scenes of the year, and we're going to run them down with Mr. Skin when we return right after this on the Kevin Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Mr. Skin.
All right, that's all we have time for.
Sorry. Mr. Skin is here. There's twice a year that we have you on that we're always excited about. One is you do the Anatomy Awards in the spring, and then about this time of year, you count down the top 10 nude scenes of the year. So this is a combination of movies and television, and it's a great mix this year because it's got some white-hot actresses. It's got some people we've been waiting for a long time to do nudity. A couple of new names in there to me. Why don't we start it at number 10, Mr. Skin, and tell us what you and the staff came up with.
That is Cameron Diaz in Sex Tape. This is that movie she did with Jason Segel where they film a sex tape. It's just supposed to be for them. It accidentally gets uploaded by the knucklehead husband up to a cloud, and then they got to reel it back in. Here's the surprising thing. Did you know Cameron Diaz, this is her first nude scene? She's 41 years old. I think people would be surprised by that.
I didn't know
Absolutely.
That.
Yeah, because she's so good-looking and has been in so many R-rated movies, you'd think we'd have seen her nude before, but this was her first time.
Huh. Is it just butt or boobs, too?
It's a boob, and you do see right breast during the filming of
I like
the sex tape.
Boob. Yeah. It's boob. It's just one.
Just boob.
Just one.
And then a great butt scene as she gets out of bed. But unfortunately, warning, you do have to see Jason Segel's butt, too.
So. Yeah. Sort of wipes she does out. Look fantastic. I know 41 isn't old or anything,
right.
But she looks great. Yes. She looks really good in this scene. All right. Number 9, one of the hottest, most popular actresses for people of all ages, Shailene Woodley. Now, this is a film I'm not familiar with, Mr. Skin.
Yeah, White Bird and a Blizzard. It's a good little movie, but I think most people in your audience would know her from Divergent or was George Clooney's daughter in The Descendants, Fault of Our Stars also. So she's starting to become a real player. She's only 23 years old. And in this movie, she's topless in bed about 30 minutes in. And it's a real hot scene. And now I started you guys out with a 41-year-old nude. Now we're at a 23. So right away we got a nice spectrum of age. And I know a lot of guys have been waiting to see Shailene Woodley topless. So
she's a great actress too, by the way.
Yep.
All right, number 8.
Whatever.
I don't watch Game of Thrones, but man, I hear a lot about blood and a lot about boobs on that show.
Oh, so many boobs.
Oh, so many. And now this girl isn't a big name. Her name's Natalie Emmanuel. And for any of your audience out there that's a Game of Thrones fan, she plays the handmaiden, like the assistant to Khaleesi, the mother of dragons. So she's that beautiful, exotic-looking girl. She's part black and a lot of different nationalities. And gorgeous, gorgeous woman. This scene, her and the girls are cleaning their clothes in the river while the gray worm spies on them. No jokes there. But it's of all the great nude scenes in Game of Thrones this year, this was the best. And anyone who's a fan of the show probably remembers this scene.
Are you responsible for these words? Looks like she's a member of House Stark, Stark naked.
That's my writers. But the sense of humor is my sense of humor.
No.
They've been told what is acceptable and what is not. So.
Well, it's skinsational if you want my opinion.
All right. Thank you.
Number 7, one of our favorite shows here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Tell us about it.
Well, it's Carrie Russell and the Americans, and this is an example of why things are different today. Because, you know, you're watching The Americans, you have commercials. So you come out of a commercial, and there it is, Carrie Russell laying completely naked on a bed, stomach down, the cameras from above. And this episode aired on April 2nd, and I knew when I saw it, this is going to be top 10 material. She's best known as the girl in Felicity, and she had that great run. She was super popular. Then she cuts her hair, and her career kind of, it was a little touch and go there for a while. Great rebound on The Americans. Great butt on The Americans.
Yes, both. What a great show, too, by the way. I can't wait for that to come back next year.
Cool.
All right, number 6. How difficult was it to narrow down a scene from Masters of Sex? Aren't half the people on that show naked half the time?
Yeah, Bean, you know your nudity because Lizzie Kaplan in Masters of Sex is our number 6 of the best nude scenes of the year. And this episode aired on July 27th. And, of course, this is about Masters and Johnson, the sex researchers, the pioneers. You know, they kicked off the sexual revolution in the 60s. But she plays Virginia Johnson. And you're right. There's so much nudity on that show. If you don't mind a bunch of wires and tape when they're doing their experiments.
I can ignore that.
Yeah, you could ignore it. But Lizzie Kaplan is so good as Virginia Johnson. And this scene in the hotel room with Michael Sheen was, of all the nudity being for this season, best nude scene of the year was Lizzie Kaplan undressing in the hotel room.
Number 5, a huge star in a movie a lot of people didn't see.
Yep, and that's as I've been doing this list, nobody saw this movie, so it's my job to share this nudity. It's Olivia Wilde in Third Person. It's this
romantic comedy, I guess. And the scene's spectacular. Liam Neeson's in his hotel room, and Olivia Wilde is trying to seduce him. So she comes down in a robe with nothing on underneath from another hotel room. She comes down, takes the robe off, and stands there at the door when he opens it. And he's like, wow, that's great. And as a joke, he says, can I have your robe? She hands it to him. He shuts the door. She now has to run two floors completely nude back to her room. It's a great nude scene, but also a funny nude scene. And it's a beautiful girl, Olivia Wilde, in third person.
Kevin, you have heard of this because we had on the director and writer Paul Haggis, who made that movie.
And I love it.
All right. Number four was a movie that I didn't see as well, Mr. Skin. If you're just joining us, Mr. Skin is on from MrSkin.com talking about the top 10 movie and television nudity scenes of the year. Now, this was a movie that I heard was, you know, European and practically a porn.
No, it was a porn. It's Stacey Martin and Nymphomaniac Volume 1. And yes, this is a movie you have to see. There was so much nudity, they had to do Volume 1 and Volume 2. But it's Lars von Trier, who all his stuff like Antichrist and Manderley, so out there. And what was weird about this movie is you had mainstream stars like Christian Slater, Uma Thurman, Shia LaBeouf, yet within the movie, not them, but within the movie, there was actual porn, real sex, where they used porn stars as body doubles to do the scenes. And not only that, there was tons of nudity. Stacey Martin is a French model, and she played the girl in her younger days, the main star in her younger days. And I just picked one of about 50 different scenes I could have had from that movie.
That scene looks like actual porn. The clip that you put up looks like it's real. It's not simulated.
I know. It looks like I got it from a porn site, right?
All right. Number three. You've got two entries from the same actress.
Yeah. Eva Green in Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. Also, she was nude in 300 Rise of an Empire. And Eva Green, if I had to say, Kevin and Bean, best breasts in Hollywood, she's a definite top five. No two ways about it. She showed her breasts six different times in this film. And like I said, when you have breasts that spectacular and you're generous enough to share them six times in a movie, you're going to be in the top 10 nude scenes of the year. And and then also the bonus 300 Rise of an Empire, she was also topless. So
it's hard to believe she wasn't number one, but look at what number two is. I can't argue with that either.
Well, Scarlett Johansson and Under the Skin would normally be number one. This happened an hour and 15 minutes into this movie. And what's so strange is she's an A-list actress. We all have seen tons of movies she's been in, mostly blockbusters and stuff. But this was a movie, like an art house movie, very little dialogue. It was strange. She played an alien that preys on Scottish hitchhikers. Why she did this
again?
Why she did this movie, I don't know. But the nudity, she's standing completely naked in front of the mirror. So we get full frontal and full back all at the same time. And like I said, normally this is going to be a number one nude scene of the year. As great as it was, we had something better.
All right, let's talk about number one. Now, you're saying something if it's the best nude scene of all of the movies and all of the TV that came out for an entire year. You better blow me away with this one, Mr. Skin.
Well, it's Alexandra Daddario in True Detective, a great show on HBO.
The kids love her.
The kids love it.
Yes. Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson. And I'll tell you a story about this. The series debuted on January 12th of 2014. The second episode was the following Sunday on the 19th. I'm sitting there watching that with Mrs. Skin, and Alexandra Daddario comes in and undresses Woody Harrelson. She handcuffs Woody Harrelson to the couch. As she gets completely nude, I turn to my wife and go, that's going to be the best nude scene of 2014. Yeah. And that was on January 19th. So I knew the second I saw it, you're not...
That's a romantic moment between you and your wife.
Yeah, that's exactly when my wife got up and left the room. But, hey, that's another story. Yeah.
But you kind of get a free pass to check out whatever's happening on the TV screen, right?
She knows
what pays the mortgage.
Yeah,
right?
Hey, I'm doing – it's my job. I have
this,
to do
Alexandra
this.
Daddario, did she come out of nowhere? Was she
not
a known
quite.
Quantity before?
You know, it's funny. The month before, I was on vacation with my family. My kids are younger, and they wanted to watch a movie in the hotel. So we rented this movie, one of the Percy Jackson movies. And she's the female lead in the Percy Jackson movies. So I'm half paying attention. I keep looking up like, wow, that girl on Percy Jackson sure is a great rack. And next thing you know, a month later, she's doing this amazing nude scene on True Detective. And listen, if you've anyone who's seen this, there hasn't been one person that's doubted that this wasn't the best nude scene of 2014.
Ladies and gentlemen, there it is, the top 10 nude scenes of 2014. Mr. Skin, MrSkin.com. Happy holidays to you, my friends. Thanks so much for coming in.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, Lisa. It's World Famous K-Rock at 6:53. Actor Michael Chiklis on the program later on today, and actor-comedian Chris D'Elia next hour. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on Wednesday.
The SAG Awards! The SAG Awards!
Yay.
Is that happening today?
Not today, but they announced their nominees morning. The 21st Annual Screen Actors Guild Awards. The nominations were announced this morning by Eva Longoria and Ansel Elgort.
Oh, Ansel Elgort. He or she is awesome.
I have no idea who that is, but I'm sure it's somebody. Here are your nominees, and often these are the precursors for Oscars and Emmys. So open up your ears. Take it all in.
How do you open up your ears?
Let's do it, man. All right. Outstanding male actor in a supporting role in a movie, Robert Duvall. For The Judge, Ethan Hawke for Boyhood, Edward Norton for Birdman, Mark Ruffalo for Foxcatcher, and J.K. Simmons for Whiplash. Glad to see him getting a nomination for that film. Supporting actor, female supporting actor, Patricia Arquette in Boyhood, Keira Knightley, The Imitation Game, Emma Stone for Birdman, Meryl Streep, Into the Woods, Naomi Watts for St. Vincent. Outstanding male actor in a leading role, Steve Carell for Foxcatcher. Is that out yet?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't
know. It looks amazing. I can't wait to see it. Benedict Cumberbatch for The Imitation Game. Jake Gyllenhaal, or Gyllenhaal, if you're Kevin. Nightcrawler. Michael Keaton for Birdman. And Eddie Tremaine for The Theory of Everything. Best outstanding female actor in a leading role, Jennifer Aniston in Cake. Felicity Jones, The Theory of Everything. Julianne Moore, Still Alice. Rosamund Pike, Gone Girl. And Reese Witherspoon for Wild. Best Outstanding Cast in a Motion Picture, Birdman, Boyhood, Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, and The Theory of Everything.
These are pretty much the favorites that have been rumored in recent weeks.
Yep.
Sounds like they're coming through.
For TV, Best Ensemble Performance in a Comedy Series, Big Bang Theory, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Modern Family, Orange is the New Black, and Veep. Veep's got to win that, right? Right?
I'd be delighted if they did.
So good.
Ensemble in a drama series, Boardwalk Empire, Downton Abbey, Game of Thrones, Homeland, and House of Cards.
Wow, that's a tough category.
Oh, man. These are all tough. Maybe you can check them out online for all the separate nominations for actor and actress in series, comedy, and drama as well. It's a lot of nominations, but I thought I'd just give you an overview. And a lot of talented people being nominated for a lot of awards. It's Christmas time.
What?
Yep. It's officially Christmas time. They just announced it this morning. That means a lot of Christmas music, and we have our own top five list of four songs that we think are the best Christmas songs.
Was this in the news?
Here's one that may fill that fifth slot.
All right.
Legendary actor Sir Christopher Lee, 92-year-old actor Christopher Lee, has released his latest Christmas song. Christopher Lee has a long-standing relationship with a record label called Charlemagne Records, where he sings heavy metal songs.
All
if
right.
You know this about Christopher Lee or not.
I don't.
Hugely popular heavy metal star.
Okay.
He's what? He's 92?
He's 92 years old, yes. Last year, he had a top 20 Billboard song, a Christmas song called Jingle Hell, that was also a metal Christmas song. This year, he's got another one, Darkest Carols Faithful Sing. Darkest Carols Faithful Sing. Here's the great Christopher Lee with his new Christmas song. With these epic notes sustained, Christ, the neighbors all complain.
Boy, excellent. I don't care for that song, but
how dare you?
At 92, what a voice.
It's the best.
And by the best, you mean?
The best.
Right.
And speaking of the best, can't wait for the South Park holiday special.
When is that?
I don't know.
No.
Is it tonight?
Tonight. I believe it is tonight. Upcoming holiday special. Sticks It, just an amazing cast. Iggy Azalea Miley Cyrus, Al Pacino, U2, Angelina Jolie, Lady Gaga, holograms of Kurt Cobain and Michael Jackson. They all get the business tonight. But my favorite part is what I've seen so far, Bill Cosby offering a drink to Taylor Swift. So, come on, Cos.
Oh, dude, lame.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Kenneth Branagh. He's 54 years old today. He's super talented. Also a great director. Directed Thor.
That's right. Remember that movie he was in, Dead Again? Yeah. Remember that movie? Love that film. Oh, that was so good.
Robin Williams also was in that film. And his then-wife.
Emma Thompson.
Emma Thompson. Bobby Flay, the legendary chef, is 50 years old today. Meg White turns 40 years old. Actress Emmanuel Shrieky is 37. And actress Raven Simone celebrates her 29th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Christmas shows at the Forum are this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, which means you're about out of time to win your way in. But we've got two chances for you coming up this morning, one next hour and one in the 9 o'clock hour, to win your way in from the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. So good luck.
Near the end of the year, we start doing our top 10 lists. And the one that we're up to today is top 10 Bean tweets.
A tiny bit harsh.
No,
guys?
That's so sweet.
Harsh. Suck and douchebag. I don't know.
He went easy on
tweeting.
You. What's about to happen is going to be worse.
Yeah. Top 10, by the way, is such a misnomer in this particular case because it really is the worst of Bean's tweets. And can you imagine how bad they have to be the worst Bean tweets?
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite an accomplishment.
All right, let's go start with the 10th worst, working our way up to number one.
Every time I remember that one of the fat boys is dead, it's my personal 9/11.
Now, what's the problem?
How often do you think about the fat boys being dead?
Yeah, well, you hear a fat boy.
You don't even know which one is.
It's the one of the fat ones. Look, a song will come on. You know, you'll be listening to the old school, and a song will come on. You go, oh man, so sad they're not with us anymore. It just kind of bums you out. That's all. That's a legitimate feeling to have, by the way, and to share. I'm sure there are other people out there who feel the same way.
My pancake is an innie. Hashtag my pancake is an innie.
I don't even remember that one.
Listen to him laugh.
Yeah,
Bean never laughs except for these.
It was a picture of a pancake that had sort of an indentation in it.
Okay,
you tweeted it.
All right. Maybe that doesn't.
You tweeted about
hold
that.
Up. Maybe that doesn't hold up for all time.
I would do anything for love, but I won't do fat.
What am I supposed to say? I stand by it.
That's eight, right? We still have seven more?
That was number eight.
Yeah.
When was the year I Will Do Anything for Love by Meatloaf was popular?
I think about 93, maybe.
All right. That's all I just wanted to know. I just wanted to know what the time delay was on that joke. I was just
more
curious.
Than 20 years, yeah. If that's okay. What you're asking.
All right, then.
Excellent. Player's gonna play, hater's gonna hate. I'm just going to shake it off. Damn it, Taylor Swift. Now I got to get another of your songs tattooed.
God, I hate you.
I believe that was the day the song came out.
Nobody
I think that
cares.
Was my excitement over
no
hearing that
cares.
New song. No one
cares.
Yeah.
I think the guy who gave the fly its name was not trying very hard.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Larry
because
King.
It's a little insect that flies.
Kind of
oh, let's name it a fly.
But
come
I mean,
on.
Again, that's... how old is that movie?
No, he's not.
I wasn't talking about
he's
the
just
movie.
Talking about the
just
insect.
Talking about
oh,
flies.
Just flies.
Yeah. Yeah. How old are flies? More importantly,
let's talk about the actual been insect. Around.
Oh.
Nothing to do with the movie at all.
Number five.
Let's all toast a delicious, sweet, non-alcoholic beverage to the late, great Shirley Temple. But what should we call it?
You can't give yourself a
flaw. It's not me, it's the audience.
You're playing the sound effect.
See, Muggs, you don't get this, but there's an actual drink that fits that description that's called a Shirley Temple. That was named after the popular actress. Jeez, wow, and Muggs is turning on you.
Number four. My goals for 2014. One, more hanky-panky. Two, less hokey-pokey.
Come on.
Holy
how old is that one?
How's that?
I don't know what you
how
mean.
Old is the hokey pokey or whatever BS?
The hokey pokey's been around a while.
1930s.
All right, good reference.
That's a joke someone makes at an old age home playing gin.
And then everybody else yells at them for doing it.
Saying, turn up the thermostat, I'm cold, where's my cardigan?
Come on, Ralph, I'm very close to being that guy.
Number three. Where's the plane?
Oh. Thank you. Whoever wrote that, thank you, sir.
That's just one of many, many, many where's the plane tweets that were like sprinkled throughout the year.
It's like one of ten.
By the way, I got an email from a listener today who is disappointed that we haven't followed up on where the rat ship is, by the way. Is that thing still out there floating in the water, Ralph, the rat ship?
I don't know. I don't know where the rat ship
Here's
is.
Here's the thing. Don't care. Don't care.
I'm already pre-sad knowing that Willie Nelson will probably die one day.
That's where pre-sad came
That's
from.
That's where pre-sad came from. That was number two, yeah. Pre-sad. Not a thing.
Nope.
And the number one top worst bean tweet of the year. I feel like the letter Q should come earlier in the alphabet.
What does that even mean?
You just, we had this whole discussion at the time. I don't want to get back into the specifics of it.
Just for 30 seconds, it was the worst tweet of the year.
Who thinks that
one of the letters should go earlier in the alphabet?
Who has a problem with the order of letters?
It just seemed like there were a bunch of those like big, heavy kind of letters with lots of squiggles that were kind of
heavy,
just kind of bunched up at one point of the alphabet. I feel like they need to spread it around. Like if they spread that down by the D's, the E's, the F's in there, where it's a little calmer, the waters are a little smoother. Oh, wow. I just feel like it would be a much better balanced alphabet. That's all I was trying to say there. That wasn't meant to be a joke, by the way. That was legitimately. It would look better, I think, if the Q were moved in the alphabet.
By the way, you're not helping yourself. It wasn't meant to be a joke. It better be a joke.
It wasn't meant to be a joke.
Or you're insane.
If it's not a joke, you need shock therapy.
I'm going to write a strongly worded letter to whoever's managing the alphabet and see if we can get that thing mixed up.
You need a lobotomy.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Who's with me?
I'm wow. all, I am all, I'm full in on wow.
Oh. You.
Those were the top 10 bean tweets, and they all freaking sucked.
Look who it is. Actor-comedian Chris D'Elia just stepped in, taping at the Wiltern this Saturday night a brand new comedy special called Under No Influence. Hey, Chris, how are you, man?
Hey, man, how are you?
Good to see you. What's been going on?
I've been everywhere. I've been on tour. I've been doing this tour, and
How long? I read July. Was it?
I started August, maybe?
August, okay.
Yeah, and I did 31 cities. Every weekend I was out in like three different cities, one night each city. And then,
what do you think of America after spending that much time in it?
This is what I think of
America.
Are
we effed?
This is what I think of America after that. I'm tired.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
You probably didn't get to see much of anything.
Honestly, people are like, it's so cool you get to go everywhere. It's like, well, I'm in each city for about 13 hours. I get there, and then I'm tired because I flew,
right.
And then I wait a few hours for the show. I do the show, and then people after the show are, like, tweeting me, hey, let's go out, let's go have a drink, and no way because I'm way too tired. And then I go back to the Radisson Inn or wherever I am, and I sit there and I watch Forensic Files until I fall asleep.
So you have already become Bob Newhart then. You just skipped the next 60 years of enjoying yourself, and now you're just hanging on.
I'm just waiting now. For the end.
How – now, you've been doing this tour partly because you're wildly popular and can make a lot of money, but partly because you've been honing the act for Saturday Night?
Yeah, I have. I've been doing this – the idea was to do this tour to get my hour ready to shoot it on Saturday, this Saturday at the Wiltern, and this is going to be my next special.
Do you find audiences that know that that's happening, that they try to laugh out loud, yell, somehow get on the recording?
You know, I think that for the most part, people are cool. And I mean, laughing hard is good. But
yes.
I find that people – it's funny, too, because when I was doing my – when I was going to tell people that I was taping my special on Saturday, I was talking to my agents, and I was like, well, I don't, do we mention that? Or like, because, you know, because I'm – people come sometimes. They don't even know. They're just like, oh, we bought tickets to a show.
Right.
And I feel like – because I feel like – if I was going to go see a show, I wouldn't want to see that because I would be like, oh, I'd be nervous. I'd do something wrong, you know?
Right.
But people are like, oh, now that it's a special, I want to come because they want to be a part of it, which I think is really cool.
Plus, yeah, they know Wiltern. You worked out the kinks in, you know, Austin or someplace else.
Yeah, I did work out the kinks.
The Wiltern is, even for you, Chris, that's a pretty big room to play comedy, right?
I was pretty nervous, yeah. I wasn't sure. Because also I play all the time in L.A. because when I'm, you know, doing things like shooting Undateable, I'm here for 4, 5, 6 months, and I'm doing spots in town. So, you know, if I go to New Orleans, I'm never there. So people are like, oh, Chris D'Elia's here. We'll all go. It's easy to fill that up. But I found that L.A. – I think L.A. is my spot.
Is that right?
My number one spot. Yeah, it was.
As far as fan reaction?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, New York. Maybe New York. San Francisco.
What's the worst?
Oh, for me?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, where can't you sell a ticket?
That's a good question.
You hate to
get... I'll tell you when I can't sell a ticket.
Okay.
When I'm in Kansas City and it's the first night of the playoffs. And it's like the first time they've been in the playoffs for what? How long? 20 years?
32 years or something. Yeah.
So you don't just cancel that show?
No. I was like, oh, this is going to be terrible. And I got there, and it was a very big venue, and I sold almost maybe 1,000 tickets, but it was like a big venue, and everyone there, even there, had like Kansas City Royals jerseys on.
Right.
And I was
and
like,
listening
why
to
are
it on
you
the radio
here?
Your headset.
While you're on stage.
I know, but they were. I guess they were with their girl, who maybe they were like, no, you said, you know. these guys
I hope
they're hating it.
As a courtesy, though, I hope you gave score updates throughout your act.
Oh man. I should have. That must
that would have been cool, right?
I should have tweeted that I would be doing that. Maybe I get more people there.
And then don't do it. No.
Absolutely.
Right. That's the key.
Tickets are available just $30, by the way, through LiveNation.com. So if you want to be in the audience at the Wiltern this Saturday night, and you're doing the show twice, once at 7 and once at 10, right?
Yeah, and I'm shooting both of them. A lot of people ask, which one are you shooting? I'm shooting both of them. You can also get
And then you edit the best together, right?
Yes, exactly. You wear the same thing. movie magic.
And you said you could also get what?
You could also get tickets at my website, ChrisD'Elia.com. So either one, whatever's easier.
We would be surprised how much material is needed for an hour comedy stand-up special, wouldn't we?
It's a lot, yeah.
It's got to be.
It's a lot. It's.
Can you imagine Kevin going up on stage and talking for over an hour?
No, not at all. I don't.
I got to tell you, man.
I can get through about 3 minutes, but it wouldn't be funny even. So.
3 minutes is long. I you know, you work it out and you try to. And also, like, you got to do a true hour. Like, you know, sometimes you think, like, the last one I did for Comedy Central. And you're like, oh, well, that's just like 42 minutes on the air. But you still got to do an
hour.
Because
of commercials and everything.
Yeah, you still got to do an hour because they want to sell it online and they want to have it, you know, on their website. And they're just these hours. I don't know, man. An hour is a long time. Once I get my act down, though, and it feels like a breeze. But, man, like for a few months before.
Building it. Yeah, building
Yeah, you're like, this is too long.
Does it get any easier?
In what way?
You can put together an hour and it doesn't take quite as much work, is it?
Well, the first time, it took me, you know, I did my first hour in like 5 years, and then now I'm doing another one a year and a half, 2 years later. So,
you're speeding up.
Yeah, I want to have it down to where I can do one a week.
All new material.
Right.
I'm always amazed that it doesn't seem like there's any kind of cue cards or teleprompter or keywords to get you from one chunk to the next, because sometimes you completely change topics. You finish a bit and then you just go into something else. And I always wonder how you remember to keep everything in the right order.
I try to find a way to where there's like a theme kind of what I'm talking about. This way, in my head, at least it feels like it's somewhat of a story, even though it's not a story. But you're like, at least you're like, okay, now this leads to that. That leads to this. I see that. You know, I'm less of a comic that will just be like, okay. I don't have like joke. I don't know how guys do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
it seems like a different skill.
Yeah. It's just like memorizing. But I talk about literally like five or six things, and I just know, you know, they're just chunks.
Have you been on stage and thought, what's the next chunk? I can't remember.
Yeah, not what's the next chunk, but what's the next part of the chunk. Yeah, for sure. I hit my head once right before as I was walking on stage. I hit my head hard, and I was like, oh, man, it hurt bad. And I was like, okay, if I ever forget something on stage, it's going to be now because I hit my head so hard. And I was like, I don't know how hard I hit it. And I was like, it could be like I could have to go to the hospital.
Oh, so be a concussion.
Yeah, and I went on stage, and the whole time I was on stage, I had to do like a 20-minute set. I was thinking, I hope I remember everything. And then because I was thinking that, I forgot one part.
Oh,
and then
really?
I was like, oh, guys, I forget. Hold on one second.
Are you still going through, I might need to go to the emergency room, bad is my head?
Yeah,
whole 20 minutes?
Absolutely, 100%, yeah.
We're going to take a break with Chris D'Elia here on the Kevin DeBee Show, but I have to ask, since you told that story, did you see the guy last week in the news, the heavy metal bass player who was standing in the wrong spot when the confetti cannon went off, and it hit him in the testicle and ruptured a testicle while he was on stage, and he finished the set.
Wow. And then he went to the hospital.
And then he went to the emergency room, exactly, and his testicle had swelled up to the size of a cantaloupe.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
That's hardcore.
You should do that Saturday.
The show must go on.
You need a confetti cannon now.
That's right.
All right. The Wiltern. Two shows live taping this Saturday night, 7 and 10 p.m. You can get tickets through LiveNation.com or on ChrisD'Elia.com. More with Chris right after this on K-Rock. For the people who are worried that the Kevin DeBee Show, now that we're in the Broadcasting Hall of Fame, we're going to go soft on you. We're talking to this guy next hour. That's right. He is fart metal, and he'll be joining us 1 hour from right now on the Kevin DeBee Show. Chris D'Elia is here now. How do you feel about opening up for fart metal today, Chris?
I'm done.
All right,
I retire.
Let me ask you a question. Not possible.
Not possible.
That's
what?
Not really a
that
question.
I retire?
No, that guy's farting that.
Yeah. No.
It's not possible.
With his hand. He's doing it with his hand?
No. No,
with his back.
On the video, he's holding his butt up to the microphone.
Yeah, no way. Right?
Wow.
No way.
What's that guy's diet?
It's the Star Wars theme.
Yeah, oh, I know.
Yeah.
But how do you even do the one note?
Like, you don't.
I don't trying
know.
To fart is hard, period.
You don't.
Wow, that's...
It's pretty strong.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin, you're going to 60-minute style attack him when we get him on, right?
I want to say...
Confess.
I don't think
I want to say. I want to say one thing that I know for sure that I can say about that guy.
Okay.
And I'm sorry in advance, kind of in a way that I'm saying it, but there's absolutely... And I don't know what the guy looks like. There's no way he's handsome.
He looks like your basic heavy metal guitarist with, you know, he looks like a young Ted Nugent, basically, is what he looks like. So points for Chris. Chris is here, by the way, because he's back in town at the Wiltern for two big shows, taping his new special, Chris D'Elia, Under No Influence. Tickets available through his website or LiveNation.com. Just $30. Sounds like a great show. I wanted to ask you about this because you tweeted a bunch about it recently.
What?
You were somehow fascinated with Garth Brooks joining Facebook.
Oh,
why? Because he was the last American to join Facebook? Is that why?
When did he?
Put a video. It was like November 11th, I think. Actually, I know it exactly.
Of this year.
But this year. Okay. And
less than a month ago.
Right. Wow. Right. Of this year. And he put a video on Facebook that explained what he was doing on Facebook. And that, you know, I guess it's official. We're on Facebook. And then he explained basically... The video was like acting like he invented Facebook.
What?
And he just explained, like, you know, what it does is it wipes the walls away between you and me. And it's like, we know what Facebook is.
We've known that for a long time.
We know what it is. We've known what it is. And it was just so funny to me because it was just like, it was them, it was him, it was like, he was like... out of touch. It's like, have you even used a computer? He probably doesn't have to use a computer. He's probably just like, hey, do that for me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably true. And then he figured, well, I'm onto it, but I need to explain it to people.
Right.
For
those of you that don't know what Facebook is, or TV, or or eating.
It's so weird because this isn't an 80-year-old getting on Facebook. Isn't
no,
he like 40?
Like, yeah.
40, 45 or something like that? How do you not know what Facebook is?
Because he's the best, you know, he's the biggest, most popular country singer, and everyone is just like, what you do is amazing, and a lot of times it is, and then you don't have to think about Facebook.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I don't know.
But I wonder why he did it then a month. Why?
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know. Because one of his explains, okay. One of his friends said, just think of it as a conversation, and then that's what he liked about it. He was like, oh, yeah, I like that.
That conversation is not fun sometimes. I just like to put that out there.
I know. You post something, and then you check the comments, and then you just get angry sometimes.
I think he was, he's kind of back after a hiatus. He was getting ready to do his first tour in a long time and put out a new record and stuff. So maybe,
that's a promo thing.
Publicity, yeah. Well, what do you make? Who do you hate the most on Twitter? And I say that knowing that Jaden Smith is out there.
Oh yeah, he's the best.
He's the best.
Yeah, he'll just tweet something like living, and you're like, yeah, I can't argue with that.
He's got a point.
Immediately retweet. How old is he, by the way? I don't even know.
I think he's around 15.
Yeah,
something like that.
Something like
that. I don't know, man. I try to follow these young guys so I could be hip, you know?
Yeah, don't follow him if you want to be hip.
I've been following him, by the way.
Me too, but for comedy.
Not even on Twitter. I'm just trying to see where he is.
What do you think it must be like in that household if Will and Jada are your parents and Willow is your sister? I mean, do you get the feeling that they're kind of like free-range kids and they have the kind of family where their parents just support whatever it is they say or do? It's cool.
It has to be, right? I mean, look, here's the thing. If you're Will Smith, everybody is yesing you.
Yeah.
So if you're Will Smith's kid, everybody and Will Smith is yesing you.
But doesn't Will Smith, if he's any kind of father, go to his son and say, stop it, you're being an a-hole?
I'd like to think so, but did you see the interview on the New York Times with Jaden?
Yes.
Where
that was magical.
It was astonishing.
That was magical.
Yeah, it was pretty intense, man. I mean, this guy's on a higher plane of being.
They talk about like school is a waste of time.
Oh, yeah. Jaden and Willow Smith, I got it right here. Jaden and Willow Smith on Prana Energy, Time, and Why School is Overrated.
Yep.
That's the headline, man.
Yeah.
I wish I read that when I was younger. Mom, look.
Now, speaking of Twitter, you do your 100% F no.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. How'd you come up with it?
I don't know, man. I had this hashtag 100% F no, and anytime I was at the airport. I'm at the airport always.
Right.
So you see so many people, and you're like, what are you doing? Because that's the public, right? That's when you're in public.
Right.
When you're in the airport. There's no more in public really than when you're in the airport, at least for me. So I see people. I saw somebody sitting there with a tuba. That was like practicing at the airport, and just 100% absolutely don't do that. Do not do that. There's rules. I mean, you know, I know there's no sheet where you can read the rules, but there's rules, okay? And at the top is don't bring a tuba in the airport. In parentheses,
top 10.
In parentheses or anywhere. Don't bring a tuba anywhere, really. Have it in your house or in a place with other tubas. That's it.
See, so I love people like that. I go the other way. Like, I want to sit next to that guy and listen to him. And I mean,
and I get it, but also, come on, guy.
That's an excellent argument. That's hard to argue. So basically, if there were a pictorial associated with 100% F, now it would be a guy at an airport playing a tuba.
Absolutely. That would be the T-shirt. And then you'd see him in silhouette and then a red no smoking sign over him.
So has that become a thing among – do your fans have a name, by the way? Are they
Delia
heads or what?
Delievers.
I like it. I like it
like
very much.
Like Believer. Like Justin
so are they using
Bieber.
They're using that now too, the 100%
yeah.
F no?
Yeah, they write it on the shirts and they come to the shows. They get shirts made, 100% F no, or
that's
Believer.
Awesome.
It's weird.
They make their own shirts. That's awesome.
People throw stuff like shirts. I was at Atlanta and people threw shirts on. They had a picture of them and it was like, Another thing I say was like, this is literally so us, which is something I said on Instagram the other day. And I had a picture of them, like two people of like them. And I was like, why am I going to wear this shirt? It's got you on it. But it's nice. It's flattering.
All right. Well, Chris D'Elia and his Deleavers are going to be at the Wiltern for two big shows for live taping this Saturday night at 7 and at 10 o'clock doing a new comedy special. Where's it going to – what are you going to do with the special when you get it done?
I have my deal being worked out. I can't mention it will be available. Everywhere, and I'm really excited for it.
That's awesome. $30, LiveNation.com or ChrisD'Elia.com, and you can follow Chris on Twitter at ChrisD'Elia. And Undateable, you're back at work now. When's that show come back on
the TV? I don't know when it's coming back on. It should be at sometime during the end of the winter or the spring. We started shooting. We just went back to rehearsal yesterday.
Felt like they so kept you guys hanging from the date that we thought you would get word whether you were renewed to the date that it actually happened. Seemed like it was like a long month.
It was. We shot the first season in 1998, I think.
And every day you're like checking your phone going, why won't they tell me whether I have a job or not?
I assumed that you would know when it comes back closer than an 8-month window.
Oh, I know. No, we won't know. We'll know when it is coming back 3 weeks after it airs.
Okay. That's above Chris's pay grade, Kevin. You know that's a TV. Yeah. All right, Chris. Good luck Saturday night, man. Thanks for the
Thanks
time.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Who tweets about the order of the alphabet?
He's a horrible human being. I
mean, come on.
On every level.
We did top 10 bean tweets of the year. Top 10, I guess, worst tweets of the year. I don't know what the category is called, but... Bean wants Q moved.
Well, look
at
it.
Mess up a lot of places.
Look at all those dense letters down there at that end. They get all jammed up together.
Thank you, Ralph.
And he clarified that wasn't him being funny, that he's actually...
No, this that's an actual problem. The alphabet is off balance.
And it's
a pot,
he has.
It's true, you guys.
Yeah.
Hey, Ralph is here. Time for the show is being on a Wednesday morning. What the hell's going on?
I am here. Look at me. Being here.
You're here.
I am so here right now.
That's right.
You know where I'm going to be Friday night?
Friday night.
Not here.
I'll be at the Improv on Melrose all night long. You can come see me if you want to.
All night?
Yeah, 8 p.m. Kevin Smith and I are doing our final Comic-Con Theater where we perform a comic book live on stage. It is the sixth issue of Batman 66 Meets the Green Hornet, which is the final one in our miniseries. We'll be performing that live at 8 p.m. You can come up on stage and join us. We pick people out of the audience to be actors with us on stage when we act it out, and everybody gets a free autographed copy of the comic book who attends. And then at 10 p.m. that night, Friday night, we're doing Hollywood Babylon again, back on
stage. Hell no.
For the first time in weeks, Hollywood Babylon, the return of me and Kevin Smith to the Improv on Melrose.
The answer is no.
So do you want to come out and see us this weekend?
Oh, no.
Well, I'm glad you said that. All right, then get your tickets at improv.com.
That's I'd rather die.
Well, but you don't. Don't have to do that. You can just go to improv.com.
Hell no!
Get your tickets for Friday night. Hey, speaking of things that I'm talking about.
Quite a transition.
Thank you. Guardians of the Galaxy!
Awesome.
I loved that film so hard. The Blu-ray combo pack is out. That means you get the 3D Blu-ray and the Blu-ray and the digital copy of the movie. And if you'd like to have that for your own very self, why don't you call me now, 1-800-520-1067. First four callers who get through at that number will get the Blu-ray combo pack and plus, as well, también, front of the line passes to meet director James Gunn. He is signing the Blu-ray combo pack this Friday at Amoeba Records there on Sunset at Vine. So if you'd like to meet James Gunn, you get to the front of the line, you get him to autograph your Blu-ray combo pack for you. It's a great deal for someone who is a Guardians of the Galaxy fan. Call me now, 1-800-520-1067. First four callers. Oh, sad news. Marianne Mobley's dead. No, she doesn't have the Ebola. She passed away from breast cancer. She was 75 years old. She not only was Miss America, one of the most famous Miss Americas, but she went on to a very popular acting career. She co-starred with Elvis Presley in two of his biggest films, Girl Happy and Harum Scarum. All right, Harum Scarum wasn't one of the best, but She did a ton of television, Love Boat, Love American Style, Designing Women. Passed away this week, so that's sad news.
You used to be married to Gary Collins, if I recall correctly.
She was until his death in 2012. This was kind of weird. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but there was in the news a while back when Lord was on Twitter flirting with adult film actor James Dean.
I didn't hear about that.
James Dean, you may know him. He was the co-star of Backdoor Teen Mom.
Right.
Also worked with Lindsay Lohan most recently in The Canyons.
Yeah, we've had Mr. Dean on a couple times. Nice guy.
Very nice guy. There was a little bit of flirting going on Twitter between the two of them.
Okay.
Caught people's attention. You know whose attention really caught? The AVNs, the Adult Video News Awards, which is like the Oscars for porn.
Right.
They noticed that she had an interest in James and seemed to appreciate his work, so she has been invited to perform at the AVNs next month in Vegas. It's going to make it a big deal. It's like the Oscars have big-time performers there. She's been invited to sing at the AVNs.
She hasn't accepted or denied.
Well, as of yet,
turned it down.
She has not accepted the invitation, but I'm sure she will.
I'm guessing she won't.
What the heck?
I'm just guessing.
She doesn't want to play at the AVNs, the most prestigious of all the adult film awards?
I'm guessing no.
I think the AVNs are much more prestigious than the Boners.
Didn't even know that.
I don't know what the Boner is.
It's like the People's Choice.
For porn?
For porn, yeah.
Okay.
I give that film a boner, people say. I don't think she'd perform that ceremony, but the AVNs, that's the classiest fair.
Perfect for her?
That's the real deal, Neil.
That would fit.
I think Bobby Slayton hosted those once. You have to ask him about that experience.
Okay.
It's a very entertaining story. I would do it if I was asked.
Would you?
I would emcee the AVNs.
Oh, you'd be great at it.
I've been to those awards, and it's...
I know you have.
It's super super weird to see an actress who just won, like, best...
Backdoor?
Anal. You can say anal.
Anal.
I know that's what you're thinking.
And she got up behind...
You know you want to say b-hole. That's your favorite phrase.
That is my favorite. I like that better than anal. And thanked her parents.
Sure.
Who in the crowd. Mom and Dad, I couldn't have done this without you.
Well, that's true. She wouldn't have a b-hole if it wasn't for them.
I just found that troubling.
You were always there supporting me.
Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad.
You were there when I went to lube camp. You got me a sphincter tutor when I was in junior high. They were there for her. They helped.
Every step of the way.
Help her grow into the professional she is today. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Raven Simone. She's 29 years old today. Manuel Shrieky. 37. Drummer Meg White, formerly of the White Stripes. 40 years old today. Chef Bobby Flay turns 50. And actor, director, producer, writer, super talented Brit Kenneth Branagh celebrates his 54th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show his beat.
Brand new Smashing Pumpkins album came out yesterday, you guys. Billy Corgan is back.
Yes, he is.
And we're going to see him Saturday night at the Forum, the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Goes to Christmas, night number two. Sunday night, excuse me.
Yep.
Sunday night is what we're talking about at the Forum. Smashing Pumpkins are on the bill, along with Imagine Dragons and Interpol and Modest Mouse and Weezer and so much more. I bring up the Pumpkins to say we are looking for Pumpkins fans right now. If you would like to earn your way in to see the band from the floor of the Forum, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. It will help you a lot if you are an actual Smashing Pumpkins fan. Give you a chance to play a game. Coming up next, you're on K-Rock.
Walgreens has pulled Christmas wrapping paper after a Southern California woman complained that it included a swastika.
Well,
and we've looked,
that seems bad.
We've looked at the wrapping paper, and it just looks like a maze.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have to actually really focus on it to come up with a swastika?
For it.
Sort of.
I feel like the only way you could see a swastika is if you were looking for a swastika. I don't think that just looking at the wrapping paper, it automatically makes itself apparent. But this woman, you're not going to believe this news story. She saw this wrapping paper and called the TV station to complain about it.
And it's the holiday season, but an NBC4 viewer called us furious over a wrapping paper she calls offensive. Take a look for yourself. She was shopping at a Walgreens in Northridge. The paper being sold in the Hanukkah gift section includes a series of lines that crossed to form what looks like a swastika.
I just called for the manager and the assistant manager, and they came out, and I explained what was going on and how upset I was, and I wanted this taken off the shelves immediately. I was really putting my foot down because I was appalled by this.
Walgreens tells us they're looking into the design fail. We'll let you know if they pull it from the shelves.
By the way, there's also a cross in the same spot where you see the swastika. You could also see a cross if you wanted to, but I guess that wasn't enough to counter the swastika. I heard another interview with this customer, Kevin. She also called her rabbi as soon as she got home, too.
What's going on?
Who? Like, what did she want him to do?
I don't know.
Chain himself to the Walgreens until they took the paper off the shelf, or what?
I can't imagine. I don't know.
Well, I don't know if this is just a case of, you know, too much political correctness or what, but we have an expert on staff that we go to from time to time. He's our good friend Bruce Endicott. He's kind enough to come on from time to time when we have questions of this nature. He's with the organization Coffee. I'm sorry, Mr. Endicott, I can never remember. What does Coffee stand for?
Coffee stands for Caucasian Organization for Friendship Enveloping Everyone.
Everyone.
C-O-F-F-E-E. That's right.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And we are a group of white Anglo-Saxons, predominantly Protestants, who are well off. And so we're trying to use our superiority to share and spread fellowship and love and understanding amongst all people. We act as a bridge between those of us who are up here and then the rest of everyone else so that we can do our part.
I feel like maybe you don't mean up here and superior.
Or superior, yeah. That's not enveloping everyone. That's you making yourself separate from all the people who may be,
but
you
our
know.
Our offices are up here on the 24th floor.
Okay.
Oh, that's what you mean.
Yeah,
okay.
Up here.
Oh, I see.
24th
okay,
floor.
Okay, all right.
And above
so,
you.
What about superior?
And we're in the Superior Building. They're in Wilshire.
Oh, I see. I didn't realize that.
All right. So who's in the
and
right
we're better
here?
Better than you.
Is it the woman who saw the wrapping paper? She's obviously very devoted to her faith. She's
yes.
Jewish, and she was very offended by the swastika. Or is Walgreens to blame here? Is she in the right? Should the paper have been pulled? What are your thoughts,
Bruce? Of course it should be pulled. She's absolutely in the right.
Okay.
You have no idea. I'm so glad that they're covering this. How many gift wrapping hate crimes there are each and every year?
Gift wrapping hate
yes.
crimes?
Wrapping paper that commits hate crimes against different groups. It's a real, real problem, and I'm glad this woman has said something about it.
I Before haven't heard
this Nazi paper out of Walgreens.
I haven't heard anything about any of those.
Well,
offensive wrapping
because
papers.
That doesn't happen. But this is one of those situations where it has happened, and I'm glad she's talking about it. Listen, for all our Jewish brothers and sisters out there, this is a real problem because they have Hanukkah. They have this minor holiday that they've blown out of proportion to try to compete with Christmas.
Well, that seems
that's not how it works at all. No,
I'm talking here. I'm trying to explain what
right.
a
but you're demeaning,
position they're
you're
in.
Demeaning
they've
Judaism.
This, they've got this crappy holiday, and they're trying to compete. It's hard enough to compete with Christmas, and now to have wrapping paper, have swastikas on it. First of all, that's horrible. And the swastika, by the way, is a symbol of evil.
Right.
Unless you're a Native American, then it's a symbol of healing. So I don't know what the hell to do. I don't know who to offend here.
Well, you're the guy we turn to when we don't know what to do.
I know. It's hard. I think maybe we should get the Native Americans and the Jews together and just let them fight it out, I guess.
Well, that's a terrible idea.
So why would you want people to fight over this? Why can't we just have a reasonable discussion?
I'm trying to find a solution. That's the only one I can come up with. Some sort of cage match between Native Americans and Jews.
That's a big cage.
That
sounds like
a lot of people. The Jews won't fight because they're very intellectual, and a lot of Native Americans will be drunk, so they won't.
Okay, again, these are the kind of stereotypes that we come to you to stay away from, Bruce.
I'm saying this is one of those situations where it's just hard to find another answer. Sometimes violence is the answer.
Okay. I think we can all agree on that, ladies and gentlemen. Violence is the answer. Bruce Endicott, thanks for the time. Happy holidays, sir.
And to you.
Dave's going to be mouthing off again if we're playing title fight, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Always happens that way.
He's the worst.
And he sucks.
No, listen, I won the last one, and I was very happy with that.
So I'm good.
Okay. So you're the blind squirrel that got the acorn.
I'm good.
Here's the deal. We're giving away tickets on the floor at the Forum this Sunday night to see night number two of the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert. We're talking to Smashing Pumpkins fans with a game we like to call the Title Fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert.
So you're on the phone, and you get to pick either Dave or Lisa to be your partner. They're going to try to describe, without using any of the major words, in a Smashing Pumpkins title. You come up with that title, get as many as you can in 45 seconds, and whoever gets the most wins the tickets to the show this Sunday. The only other advice we give you is if you're just completely stumped, Dave's giving you horrible clues and you have no idea what the hell he's talking about, just go ahead and pass and move on to the next one.
Dave and Lisa have not seen the list yet. They don't know who has what song, so they open it when they start giving the clues.
Hence the terrible clues.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Our first contestant, I believe the contestants are on lines 1 and 6. So let's start with Richard in Montebello. He is on line 1. Hey, Richard. How you doing, man?
Richard.
Are you there? This is a bad start.
Richard.
Take Lisa. Richard, what were you doing? You knew you were on hold to come on the air to try to win tickets. What were you doing that was more important?
And all of a sudden, when I couldn't hear anything, so I was just like trying to listen.
Let me butt in here, Richard. I could hear in and out. Yeah, butt in here, Richard, and say that was my error.
It wasn't on Richard's head. It was on your head. Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's the Kevin factor. All right, Richard, you're off the hook. You're in good standing once again. We are going to make you go first. That's the bad news. The good news is you get your choice of partners. Who do you want to play with?
You know, I don't care. Give me Lisa May.
Good choice.
Call.
That's a good choice.
You're a smart man, Richard.
I like going second.
All right, 45 seconds on the clock. Again, Lisa's going to describe a Smashing Pumpkins title for you. See how many you can get. Good luck, sir.
This is on the calendar. It is
today?
Not. Yes. This is you calling the bomb squad because they need to do this to a bomb.
Disarm.
Okay. This comes out of a gun and an insect.
Rocket.
An insect has it. It's a beautiful insect. What comes out of a gun? You fire.
Comes out of a gun?
Yeah.
Bullet. Yes. Bullet with butterfly wings.
Uh-huh. Nice. I see with this.
I see with this.
I look out of them.
Ah.
Zero, I don't know.
No, it's in my body. It's in my face. I use it to...
Pass, Lisa.
That's all I have.
That's the last one. You got it.
Okay, so you get glasses so that you can...
Stars?
Lisa was trying to get you to say... I.
She even said it in the clue.
Oh, she said I the letter.
She said, yeah, she said I,
oh,
the letter I, not E-Y-E. Come on, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
The part of her body is an I that she's looking for. That is a very popular Smashing Pumpkins song.
You were doing so good, Richard.
Yeah, that
you
was
were
tough.
Like on fire.
He still may win. We don't know.
All right.
Because Dave's going to give clues now. True. And that's going to go poorly.
Yeah, those were all the easy, the easy titles. Let's see what I have.
Rick.
All right. So he got 3. That's going to be the number to beat here. All right, Rick is in Westchester, and he is on line 6. Hey, Rick, how you doing, man?
Doing good.
How did you do? I'm sure that you were listening to your competitor, Richard, on the other line and playing along on the phone there. How did you do with those clues that Lisa gave?
I'm just going to say I did well because everyone that says I got them all doesn't get them all.
It's a curse.
You're absolutely right.
You're cursing yourself if you say that.
Now that you've seen how good clues are presented, I want you to meet your partner, Dave.
Let's do it, Dave.
His name is Rick.
Here we go.
All right, let's go. Oh, man, it's a baby angel. What do you call
cherub.
This?
Cherub rock.
All right, cool. Tomorrow.
Tonight.
All right. It's a year.
1979.
All right, and it's less than 1.
0.
Boom!
Yeah!
That is all she wrote. How about that?
18 seconds.
Woo! On fire.
Oh, man.
Whew. Man, was he a good contestant. Yeah. Dave's going to take credit.
I give it all to Rick.
Man, is Dave going to take credit for that.
Rick, you not only get to see your band, the Smashing Pumpkins, you also get to see No Doubt and Modest Mouse and Interpol and Alt-J and Imagine Dragons, Tears for Fears, Weezer, and Vance Joy. It's Sunday night. You are on the floor, my friend, for the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Thank you for listening, and thank you for playing the title fight.
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's Title Fight.
Oh!
We already alerted the Museum of Television and Radio. They're rolling tape. Right? They're recording on this one. I just want to make sure this one goes right into the archives. That's all. He is a very, very talented musician. His name is Samus Policelli. He is in a couple of bands. He shreds on guitar. He's a great drummer. He's a great singer. He's living the heavy metal lifestyle. But the video that has catapulted him to superstardom, one of the biggest videos of the year that we ever put on the Internet Roundup, nearing a million views, is called Fart Metal. Here's Samus. Listen.
He's got an amazing voice.
He does. And I know that our listeners hear that and they go, that's fantastic, but what have you done for me lately? Well, this is what Samus has done for us lately. We couldn't be more excited to welcome the man, the legend, fart musician Samus Policelli on the show with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Samus, how are you, sir?
Oh, yeah. How's it going?
It's going great.
It's going good before
Look,
you did that.
Here's the thing. As I said when I intro'd you, you're obviously a very talented musician. You've got tons of records out, great videos. You sing, you play. How did the whole farting thing happen?
I don't know. Ever since I was a kid, I was, you know, perverted like that. My parents were always farting, so I was always farting. And
That's a beautiful, beautiful story.
I don't know.
Do you remember the first time you got the idea, hey, I'm going to start recording it?
When I got an iPhone, actually, last year for Christmas, and I discovered the voice recorder.
Right.
So, I just started recording my farts just for the fun of it, and then after about a year of that, I had a pretty good amount of farts. So I was like, man, I got to do something with these. There's got to be a reason because some of these farts are really good.
There has to be a reason.
Is that a sentence that's ever been said before? Hey, some of these farts are pretty good. So what do you do then? Then you take all those actual real sounds and sequence them, put them on a keyboard or something, and then just play them like you would any other musical instrument?
No, actually, what I ended up doing is I just said, okay, I'm just going to write a beat and put some farts on it. So I just wrote those drums first, and then I just threw all the farts into my recording session, and I just, you know, timed them to the drums, and then I was like, oh, man, this is getting really hilarious. All right, so then I added guitars, and then I was like, okay, fart metal, here we go.
So in the fart metal video then, the one that has been seen almost a million times now, you're basically lip syncing with your butt as we watch you kind of pretend to make those sounds that we're hearing on the track.
You're b-hole syncing.
Right. In the fart metal video, obviously in the video the farts aren't live, but they're all real. In the Star Wars, that one's live, but
that one's not live.
What's up?
That's not live. Nobody can do that. I'm calling
BS.
The
Star Wars one?
Yeah.
I can do it right now if you want.
But you can.
We may take you up on that, but let's talk about that for a second. So you're saying that the 20-second video of you doing the Imperial March from Star Wars, that was recorded in one take live with those sounds being made by your body.
Oh, yeah. It took me like 2 hours to do that. I was standing there doing a take after take, but yeah, it's hard to get the pitches.
How do you play different notes? How does that happen?
You kind of just have to, like, you know, move your cheek muscles, like, accordingly. And it takes a long time of practice, I must say.
Well, worth it.
But you got to...
But I'm saying... I mean, you're right. Those notes are right on.
They're pretty close. They're pretty close.
So you're able to change the pitch of what the sound of the fart is just by the way you move your butt.
You've never done that before?
No!
No! That's astonishing.
I like that he's disappointed in us.
Now, Kevin, tell Samus what you were saying before we got him on the phone about how there's had no possibility in your mind that this was possible that he'd do it live. Right?
It has to be sampled on a keyboard because how do you hit notes? I can't.
Told you.
I know you told us, but I don't think it's possible.
How did you make so? I don't want to get too graphic here, Samus, but how did you tape for 2 hours before you got that perfect take. Like, what were you eating to generate so much air?
That's a good question.
I'll give away the food. It's usually beans and raw broccoli is a good kick. And usually if I want to speed up the process, I add lots of milk. But usually the beans and raw broccoli is pretty good. Black bean soup, too, really helps.
And it must be so frustrating for you when you're laying down a take and you get close to the end and then you're just out. You've got no more farts.
Another good follow-up question.
That's the worst part, especially when I got to the end and the last note just doesn't sound good. It's like, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me. And then I have to wait a couple more minutes and then try to, like, suck in. I'm not going to explain it. But
this is unbelievable. What kind of reaction? I know you get a lot of great reaction from your fans online. The success of the videos is evident. But what reaction do you get from actual friends and actual family?
Well, obviously my mom was pretty embarrassed with fart metal because it was, blowing up all over the internet. And she's like, oh no, why did you have to do something like this? I'm like, it's okay, mom. It's just, it's for a joke. But everyone else is like, oh dude, that's awesome, blah, blah, blah. And actually, surprisingly, my wife's really proud of me too. She thinks it's really
cool. You have a wife?
Oh yeah.
What?
It was funny. It was her idea for me to put the Star Wars fart video up too. She's awesome.
Aren't you only like 27 years old, Samus?
I am 27. Very
and you
good.
And you already have a wife and this career. That's remarkable, man.
Well, I actually just got married the end of August this year.
She must be very proud.
She's a lucky lady.
All right. Could we get just a – are you ready for a little live farting? Would you mind before we say goodbye? Could we get a little live farting?
Yeah, just talk about something else for about 30 seconds. Let me try to see.
Okay.
You got to power up the keyboard?
No,
keyboard, Kevin. Come on, man. I'm convinced. Samus is on YouTube, by the way, at 66 Samus. That's 66 S-A-M-U-S if you want to see his videos. And you definitely want to look for fart metal, and you definitely want to look for the Star Wars Imperial March. And he's in a band called Eliminator that has like 5 albums out where he plays guitar and sings. Like I said, very talented musician.
No,
are you going to –
No.
You gonna, no what?
Eliminator.
What's that?
Oh, no. Eliminator's not doing anything right now. I'm just doing my solo.
Solo. Okay. All right. Well, they couldn't keep up with you anyway, man.
That's okay.
All right. What do you got? You going to play something for us, or are we just going to hear some random noise here?
Well, I've been working on a new thing where I don't know if I should really explain it too much, but I kind of, tap my finger over it a little bit and, make it kind of staccato, and it's kind of fun.
we would very much enjoy hearing that, Sam.
Would we really?
I'm trying to picture this, but all right.
I'll do it real quick. Don't worry. I won't make
it. Okay. We're excited.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Come on. Samus Policelli, thanks so much for joining us at the Kevin Beach Show. We enjoyed talking to you, sir.
My pleasure, man. Thanks.
Oh, this is a magical day.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin Beach Show. It's 8:54.
Now, I know Michael Chiklis was in the next room at one time from American Horror Story getting ready to come in here, but I'm sure after we interviewed Fart Metal, he's out of here, right?
No, he was intrigued by that. He said that guy's his hero.
His hero?
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you, Ralph.
Chicky, he's a regular guy. He's a dude. He's a guy. He's a man's man.
American Horror Story.
Yeah.
You buy it, Ralph?
I don't buy it.
Not I don't either.
Not for a minute.
He's got a keyboard, right?
Yep, he's got something.
Sampled.
Something sampled.
You can do it. You can change... By flexing and squeezing and things like that, you can change higher, lower, generally the tone, but you can't control notes. You can't be that specific. It's just the sphincter doesn't have that sort of fine-tunery.
Maybe you just haven't put in the time. You haven't put in the practice.
That's true. Well,
listen, you have no idea what I've done with my sphincter, mister. My sphincter's a well-oiled machine.
If it's not fake, he's the greatest human being alive.
Well, that is not true at all, but...
It's impressive.
It would be a unique accomplishment.
Greatest human alive.
I would not even know. Wrong. All right.
Well, I was hoping that we would have settled, whatever concerns
well,
Kevin
can't
had.
Until the guy's here in front of you doing it.
And you see him do it.
Yes. The proof is in the pudding. In this case, his pants pudding.
It's not pudding.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Then we got some tickets you can win for both nights on
fame.
The floor.
Hall of Fame show.
For the Acoustic Christmas this weekend. And then the great Michael Chiklis joins us. So a lot of good stuff coming up. Time for the Showbiz Beat now. What's happening?
Yeah, Chiklis is a little cheesed off at me, I think.
Why?
Because, you know, I'm the geek of the show.
Yeah.
And I got the desk in the other room there.
Right.
And it's all, it's just littered with comic book paraphernalia. I've
it
got
is.
Batman. I've got Clark Gregg's Agent Coulson. I've got Loki. I've got Batarangs.
Action
and
figures,
superheroes,
posters, everything.
Everything. No Thing. Thing is not represented.
Mm.
And so the Thing from Fantastic Four is not too pleased with me.
You don't want to make him angry.
I do not want to. And that's the Hulk. We're different guys.
Sorry.
Still.
He's trying to play.
All right. Let's talk about show business news. Speaking of a movie superhero, remember Christopher Reeve, of course, played Superman famously.
Sure.
But he was also in a very popular film from 1980 called Somewhere in Time, known as one of the most romantic movies of all time. Well, they're making a Broadway musical out of it, which I think has tremendous potential. You ever see that movie?
No.
I'm not a big romantic film guy. I find them often sort of sappy and silly. But this was kind of cool and fantasy and time travel-y and stuff like that, too. Mm. It was pretty cool.
Ralph, a couple years ago, remember when I went to Michigan on vacation, I went to that that hotel where they shot this Somewhere in Time on Mackinac Island. And it is a huge tourist attraction. People from all over the world come because of that film and stay in that hotel and, you know, see the scenes where they were shot. Apparently, it's still doing big business.
Film is beloved by its fans, that's for sure. Jane Seymour was the co-star.
Hmm.
And, yeah, I think it's a good idea. I think this will be a popular musical. I think a lot of people will go to see it if they do it well. Kathy Griffin, as we've mentioned, has accepted the open spot over there on Fashion Police on E, the Joan Rivers.
How could she not?
Once ran that show, now Kathy will take over. And apparently Kelly Osbourne is pissed because Kathy is being rewarded more handsomely than she is. Apparently she's making a lot more money than she is. To which I would say, she has talent.
Yep.
Yeah.
And she's put in the time.
And a career.
Yes. And they're lucky to have her, and you're still Kelly Osbourne.
Yeah, she's a way bigger star.
Right.
Way bigger draw.
Apparently the two of them have never seen eye to eye, and people over there at E! Are concerned it could be a drama-filled season.
All right.
Now I'm in. Now I'm watching.
I wasn't going to watch till right now.
I agree. And while we're talking about drama, Chevy Chase back on Community?
What?
Likely.
Well, if you ask Chevy, he says it's very likely. I will be in a small cameo at the beginning of Community, he said. And if they ask me back, I will come back for one or two appearances. It's definitely a possibility.
I don't like it.
That's Chevy Chase talking about it.
I don't want it.
Talking about Community. However,
this isn't funny.
A spokesperson for Sony, which produces the show, said to TV Guide, at this time, Chevy is not confirmed to appear in season 6. So, conflicting reports, depends on who you believe.
This is not my kind of comedy.
Maybe Sony will be hacked and we can find out the truth.
Come on, man, you're missing the point.
I apologize. And Sir Christopher Lee. You know him from the Dracula films, of course, legendarily. Star Wars. He was Count Dooku. Lord of the Rings, the new Hobbit movie. He's been around forever, a brilliant British actor who primarily is known for his horror and genre films. 92 years old.
92.
Also has a second career as a heavy metal lead singer.
At 92. Still singing.
He's got a brand new heavy metal Christmas song out this week.
Does he fart the songs?
He does not. He actually sings them. Sings them with his mouth.
He's got amazing control for a 92-year-old.
That's not his work. Last year, he had another heavy metal Christmas song called Jingle Hell that he put out. This year, it's Darkest Carols Faithful Sing. Here's Christopher Lee.
Darkest Carols Faithful Sing, glory to the Cumberland King. Peace unheard of, mercy mild, saints and sinners going wild. Loyal to our basis dream.
Yeah. Headbanging.
I mean, it's not good.
That's
but
bad.
The fact that he's 92 and can sing is pretty impressive, yeah.
The fact that he's singing heavy metal.
Yeah, I agree. But
he's the coolest old man on the planet.
Agreed.
And he's like 4 years older than Ozzy, who's also singing heavy metal.
But if that was from a 30-year-old, you wouldn't listen to it for 1 second.
You don't know, man.
I don't. That's true.
All I You're know right.
is fart guy's fake.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor, director, writer, producer, does it all, Kenneth Branagh, one of the greats, 54 years old today. Chef Bobby Flay turns 50. Meg White, remember she was the drummer for the White Stripes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
back
I do.
In the day. She's 40 years old today. Emmanuel Shariki, you know her from Entourage, 37 years old today. And Raven Simone celebrates her 29th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Always a thrill when we welcome our friend Michael Chiklis back to the Kevin and Bean Show from American Horror Story Freak Show, Sons of Anarchy, and anything else that's good. Hey, Mr. Chiklis, how are you, sir?
Always a thrill for me to be here with you guys.
Wow, where do we even start with Mr. Chiklis? He's involved in everything doing right now on TV is controversial and creates fans that hate him.
Yes, you've been reading my Twitter feed, I see.
Are they fans if they hate him? Wow. Well, they were fans until he did a bad thing on a show.
Well, actually, it is heartening to see that 99% of them sort of clearly differentiate between reality and fantasy. They're like, I can't believe you killed so-and-so, but... You know, but it's okay because I love you anyways.
Now, you didn't have to deal with social media back in the Shield days, right? This is all new in the last few years. So you didn't get that kind of reaction every single day online.
Well, it's quite a drag, actually. We kind of bemoan the fact that it wasn't around then because we can't help but wonder what that would have been like.
Yeah.
You know.
But that was one of the great series of all time.
Thank you. We certainly know that people would have been like, oh, my God, every week.
Mackie's a dick.
Yeah, right. Well, now I like him. Oh, no.
No, I don't.
What's with Forrest Whitaker? Leave him alone. Forrest used to come in, actually, sort of, you know, dumbfounded. He'd look at me and he'd go, they hate me. I mean, you killed a guy and I'm after you and they hate me. He just couldn't get over it, like, because people would yell at him in the street, like, leave Mackie alone!
But that's what I loved about that show, is that you were a bad guy that everyone liked.
Rooted
like Breaking Bad, same kind of thing.
Yes.
You
know,
he's your hero and you root for him, even though he's a bad dude.
It was the birth of the anti-hero.
That's right. Well, you brought up American Horror Story with the killing and whatnot. We'll try not to say too much to spoil it for folks. But let's talk about you being on that series, first of all. You were, as an actor, it seems like a dream gig to work for that guy, Mr. Murphy, and B, to be involved in that cast, right? You must have just been so happy to get that word.
Absolutely. You know, Ryan and I have been friends for many years, and to get that phone call and go in and talk to him about, you know, joining a cast – The one that we're talking about, which is, you know, Kathy Bates and Jessica Lange and Sarah Paulson and Angela Bassett. It's just insane amount of talent, you know.
Did you have any questions about the freak show nature of it? Like, did you wonder if
sure. But listen, the way he pitched it to me was, you know, you'll be playing a freak show strongman, and your freak will be internal. You will be a strongman who's got serious weaknesses in his persona, in his personality, in his character.
Cracks, if you will.
Yes, and I thought, wow, okay, great. That's I love irony, and that's a great dichotomy, and you know, Ryan's going to be writing this, so fantastic, you know. Then the scripts start coming, and you're like, oh.
Dark.
Oh.
It's a troubling show. Let's
And honest. Then, you know, what happened a few weeks ago
right, let's
was...
Let's give a spoiler alert for American Horror Story right now.
Spoiler alert.
This is for American Horror Story.
Well, yeah, and then
Come back in 2 minutes. Okay.
Okay. Right. Go get a cup of coffee. You know, I'm reading the script and I'm like, oh my God. And I'm now my children won't speak to me.
You squished a little person.
You know what? I'm over it. At first, I read that and it was horrifying and I was just like, oh no, really? And then now my daughter's like, Daddy, you killed Ma Petite. How could you do that? And like, you know, now I'm at the point where I'm like, yeah, I crushed her. Yeah, I did.
deal with it.
You know, deal. You know,
Michael, what is she like as a person?
She's lovely.
She's so sweet on the show.
So sweet and kind and just.
How tall is she exactly?
I don't know the exact.
I mean, is it like
put it this way?
Like, where does she
my
come
from when you put your elbow on the table, approximately to the tip of your finger, depending on the. It's a. She's about. That's 20 inches.
I think it's, that's amazing.
20 inches.
I mean,
inches.
Can and you stop staring at her in person? Like, you just can't get your
first,
head around
at first,
it.
You, yeah, because the thing is because she's 20 years old. And she does not want to be spoken to or treated like a child.
Yeah.
Because she's not a child. And that's what's so, like, but you're...
Because you just
want
to pick her up.
You want to be... Yeah. You're the size of a baby. My daughter was your size at birth.
Oh, wow. When you put it like that, Michael. And what's her attitude like? I mean, that's her lot in life. It wasn't her choice, but that's what she was dealt. How does she handle that?
You know what? Listen, in all honesty... I tried to avoid anything like that in terms of the conversation. I spoke to her like any other grown up,
right.
and I think she appreciated that.
Before you killed her,
before I crushed her to death. Yes, yeah. And by the way, I was so upset when I read that, and so upset the day that I had to do it because it was very upsetting. It really was. It was just a really upsetting.
Even
scene.
As an actor, as a person who's done lots of fake things on film before, it still affects you, right?
Of course, especially if you're going to be any good at it. I mean, yeah, it was very affecting, and I just was miserable that whole week, and for several days after, I was like that. Stuck with me in a way that things normally don't because it was so like really
the entire season is like that.
Yeah,
this entire
constantly.
Season is uncomfortable.
Although,
at best,
like my wife looks at me and goes, "Well, at least you're not Dandy."
I'm
right. Like, great. I don't like swim in my mother's blood. Awesome. You know, wow.
This show does seem like, even more than the other seasons of American Horror Story, it seems like it was created just to cause nightmares because, I mean, you can, think about Twisty. You think about what Twisty looks like. You think about what Kathy Bates looks like with the beard. You think about Sarah Paulson with her two heads and Angela with her three boobs. Like, everything about it is set up to give you nightmares.
Yeah, well, and thus the title American Horror Story. You know, again, my wife keeps reminding me, it's not American Fun Story.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, yeah, you're right. Now, you know, because she gets sort of blown away at how affected I am by it. You know, she's like, what's your problem? It's American Horror Story. And I'm like, I know. She's like, you know, and Angela Bassett used to make fun of me. She's like, yeah, y'all did The Shield, you know?
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, but there wasn't a psycho clown cutting people's throats, you know what I mean? It was
that
different.
That does take it to a different place.
It's well, you know, I think it's because it's so psychologically twisted that gets to me. It's like, wow.
Michael, 75 years ago, were there places like this Jupiter, Florida, where all the freaks lived together
this
in
is
real
all
life?
Based in truth. You know, they researched this thoroughly, and there was this, you know, as a matter of fact, I have a friend who knew the claw-handed boy.
Really?
Yeah, and apparently this guy was a bad guy. He murdered people. He was a philanderer. He was like a psycho nut, you know. And, you know, you talk to some of the people, you know, that are in the show that, like Matt comes out of who plays the seal boy. You know, he came out of this freak show in London, and he's like, you know, listen, I love it. You know, it's a community for us, and we get to perform, and it's a place where I feel completely welcome and at home, and you know, you sort of go like, okay, you know, and it's just really,
it's hard for us to put ourselves in their shoes or
it's
fins.
It's impossible, really.
Shoes or what?
Did you say fins? Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
Oh,
I just wanted to make sure that got out.
That's right on par with Fart Singer. You know?
We were afraid you would leave during that.
We
were afraid we'd lose you.
No,
if you weren't here, we thought you'd turn around.
Far too mesmerized.
Okay. he should join this show, American Horror Story.
Yeah.
That's right.
There's a freak.
I know we have to take a break, and we definitely want to talk about Sons of Anarchy when we return with Michael Chiklis, but I have to ask, in real life, is it discouraged for the so-called freaks to date other regular people? Are they supposed to stay within their community?
Oh, dude, you're just messing up all over the place. No, it is not. Well, no, and they're not. They are regular people. That's the whole point.
But in 1930, they weren't, though, is what I'm saying. I mean, when they were treated like freaks, obviously we've evolved a great deal as people.
Exactly. No,
but
they were
then,
not accepted, and that's the reason why they were objectified in the way that they were. And literally, people – think about that. People would charge money for you to – go, hey, look at this person. Look
yeah.
At, because the oddity of yeah. them. And that's disgusting.
It yeah. is. I agree.
That's a horror show in itself. So
I agree.
I think Mr. Ryan's point by making this, the whole the bottom line is the catch line on this is we're all freaks.
Mm-hmm.
And what he means by that is that we all have our damage. We all have our weirdness and our craziness in life. Everybody, and no one's immune because we're born, we live, and we die.
Right, but do we have three boobs?
No.
Only the lucky ones.
Only the lucky ones.
Michael Chiklis is here. American Horror Story Freak Show airs Wednesday nights at 10 on FX. We'll be right back on K-Rock.
Our friend Michael Chiklis in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We were talking about American Horror Story Freak Show, which airs Wednesday nights. That's tonight at 10 on FX. And, of course, we've seen you the last 2 weeks on your old friend Kurt Sutter's show, Sons of Anarchy.
Yes.
He had wanted to put you on the show for the first 7 seasons, he was trying to figure out a way to get you in that cast, right?
No, actually, quite the opposite. He was like, the only two people who can't do that show are me and Walton Goggins, because he felt like a lot of the emotional weight of the show really sort of fell on us from the Shield.
Was unbelievable.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
He is, but that's yeah. a whole nother level.
Yeah, well,
could you have played that role?
That came from a joke. Sure, but that comes from a joke. He said to Walton,
what Michael said is, if we put boobs on you and a wig.
Oh, sorry. Right. Right. Well, that's what he said.
that is what
he's
he said.
Just
and Walton said, okay. And Miss Van Damme. So there you go.
Wasn't that a beautiful, beautiful storyline, though, with his character in Kit?
Crazy, amazing, and only Kurt Sutter. That's all I can say, is only Kurt Sutter could conceive that and write that and then have Walton pull that
off. Let's do this for a second.
Spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert.
Why did you have to be driving right then?
Well, because, you know, Kurt just thought, you know, he's thinking in terms of full circle. You know, he came over to my house and he said, look, dude, I got an idea. I want to do this. I just think that since it all started with you on the Shield, it just makes perfect sense to me to have the antagonist, you know, the lead of the Shield be the one to, you know, be the implement of the destruction of my protagonist. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Wait, was that a happy oh, yeah?
Yeah, or? Totally. Okay. Happy oh, yeah. I thought, and I said I was honored, and I was. I was like, you know, and we hugged each other, and then we did it, you know, and I thought that was really, really cool. Beyond deferential and just really amazing. I just thought, wow, that's Kurt Sutter. you know, and just fitting and so great on so many levels. And I'm so proud of Kurt. You know, I mean, he really threw down for all the years of the Shield and all the years of Sons of Anarchy. And I'm sure that he will continue doing that because he just doesn't know how to do it any other way. You know, he's one of the most passionate and incredible artists I've ever worked with.
What I love is that he didn't pull out at the end. That's how that series needed to end, and it did.
Yeah, he didn't half-ass it.
Yeah, a lot of people, I don't know, it's Dexter, he's just going to float off in a boat. I'm like, come on, come on.
People get scared, and they also, you know, it's so hard. When you have something that works in this business, and you have that franchise, the business side of your head goes, don't end it completely because, you know.
Who knows, right?
Yeah, and that's just, you know, it's a cop-out. You know, I will say that. You'll never see that from a guy like Kurt. He's just going to scorch the earth and just he's going to do it.
He didn't tell us at the beginning of the season. It was just basically a pool of blood.
Right.
It was this whole season.
Just a splatter. Well, and it really is. My God. Especially those last 2 episodes.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that he did the sort of precursor scene with me and Katie. It was sort of this island in the middle of that madness. This really sort of lovely scene, really.
Yeah, it was very sweet.
Very sweet. And I read it, and I was like, wait. And then he explained that, and I was like, yeah, calm before the storm. Yeah.
I get it.
One of the things I'm so grateful for Sons of Anarchy is that I think everybody realizes what a phenomenal actress Katie Sagal is now. You know what I mean? I mean, she always has been, but man, has there ever been more proof of it than this series?
Well, and her versatility. I mean, you know, from the success of Married with Children and that over-the-top, crazy, you know, comedic
character.
Yeah,
it's hard to remember it's the same actress now.
Yeah, right? And, you know, and she's just – and also a hell of a musician in her own right, too.
Oh, yeah. She's a terrific
singer.
She's
terrific.
Yeah.
Why do you think TV does that, where if she's thought of as Married with Children, they don't – try or...
I'll tell you exactly why. Okay, because please. I understand it as a businessman. If you are the head of a studio and you're looking at a billion-dollar spreadsheet, your brain compartmentalizes. You have to go, Chiklis, he'll play a tough guy in this. Sagal, she's a funny lady. We'll put her in this. It's not – my wife said something brilliant to me leading up to The Shield, the run-up to The Shield, where I was at that point someone who was being cast as roly-poly affable guys. And I really wanted to redefine
that. Was this post Three Stooges or something?
It was post The Commish and, you know, okay. and Three Stooges and Daddy-O. I was being cast as really soft, sweet guys. And I knew I wanted to do something hard-hitting and adult and smart. And you
and
know,
your wife said, you're not that sweet.
Well, no, what she said was, it's not incumbent upon the studio to reinvent you. It's incumbent upon you to reinvent yourself. And you, in other words, you have to completely change yourself and not take anything but what you want to do until you can do it. And if we have, that means us moving into an apartment and downsizing and doing everything we need to do until you can do that, writing our own script, which is something we embarked on. And then The Shield just manifests itself. And
wow.
I think that that's why networks and studio executives, they're thinking in terms of a big, huge puzzle, and they just plug people in the way that they see them. And that's why people get typecast, because they see you in a particular role, in a particular function, and they just plug you into that function. Then it's incumbent upon you, the individual artist, to define who you are.
But let me ask you a question about that. Katie Sagal probably not getting the scripts, not getting the opportunities to do something that's the pretty much the opposite of.
Well, in
so
all candor, you know, you got to have a little luck too. I had a little luck with The Shield in that, first of all, Sean Ryan didn't know my work, so he only had the guide in front of him to judge on.
Right,
and it was at FX. A place that no one knew. There was nothing there. And if it, I always say, if The Shield had been at ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox at that time, I would not have been let in the room for it.
Is that right?
Yeah, because the guys that were in charge would have gone like, oh, no, Chiklis isn't right for this. I know him. They thought they knew me. They didn't know me.
Right.
But,
that's
you know, and Katie, you know, had an opportunity. And let's face it, you know, you have to have a little luck, you know?
Well, I mean, if you're a talented actor, you can do a lot more than people give you credit for. I mean, we talked about Breaking Bad. I mean, that's the perfect example of the Malcolm in the Middle dad all of a sudden. Look at him now, you know?
Well, and also, while I'm on the radio, if there are any studio executives listening, you know, let that be a lesson to you. Because
absolutely.
Really, you know... just thinking in absolutes and broad cliches does not work. When you give someone like Bryan Cranston the opportunity to play Walter White, amazing thing
things
happen.
Hey, I remember when Kelsey Grammer's Boss show was on the air, which I loved, by the way. Kevin, you remember that?
Yeah,
when
that was great.
He plays the Chicago mayor, whatever. It was a brilliant series, and I thought, and after watching him on that, I thought, I can't believe this guy used to do comedy. I mean, this was the guy who did the
Cheers
character for 20 years. Yeah,
but what people fail to recognize is that we're actors. We went to school for this, most of us. You know, our whole lives are geared toward slipping into other people's skins, walking a mile in another man's shoes, if you will, you know, or a woman's shoes, as the case
may be. So for casting directors, there's a lot more people out there who are right for the role than you realize.
Correct.
That's the message.
Correct.
I like it. What are you doing next, Michael?
Well, I'm actually going to go back now in the recording studio because I just finished building it, but it's been fits and starts because I've been back and forth. I'm going to go and shoot an indie really quickly, an indie movie, but it's been really hard to get into the recording studio because I've been in New Orleans shooting American Horror Story. So I'm really craving getting back and
doing some more music.
Yeah, and it's a downtime right now in L.A. December's kind of a quiet time in terms of shooting, so it's a perfect time leading up to the holidays for us to deck the halls in the house and then go in and record in the studio.
What can you tell us about tonight's episode of American Horror Story?
Oh, my God, it's completely off the chain. Now, I'm not in a lot of this episode, but what I am in is like, oh! You know,
but they put that on the poster.
Yeah. How do you spell that?
How many episodes are left of Freak Show?
Four, I believe.
All right,
yeah,
so
four.
Getting close.
Well, some of them
will
be toward the after the new year. I think that they're going to be some preemptions now because of the holiday programming. But this week, I think
you don't see Freak Show as good holiday programming.
I see a Christmas night marathon. Is what
Merry
I see.
Merry Christmas.
All right, American
Happy
Horror Story
holidays.
Here's Wednesday nights at 10 on FX, and Sons of Anarchy airs never. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Chiklis has been our guest here on the Kevin Show. Great to see you.
Thank
Happy holidays to you, sir.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:44.
Hey, congratulations to Pearl Soriano from San Gabriel. She won tickets to both nights on the floor of the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Don't forget, we got those tickets for you every hour at the top of the hour all the way up until 5 o'clock today. How fun was Mr. Chiklis there, Ralph? Great guy, right?
Pearl. What's she? 70?
Always the best.
That's
Pearl.
That's a beautiful name.
Pearl Soriano.
Pearl's a beautiful name.
Pearl. Pearl. How many pearls do you mean?
It is a 1920s name.
So, pal, you go to the big show, eh? That's crackerjack. You're the bee's knees, pal.
But don't a lot of names, like Olive is a perfect example of a name that was very popular about that same time as Pearl, went away for a long time, back in a big way now. Aren't they cyclical, a lot of
those
names?
Sure. Doesn't mean it doesn't remind me of the 1920s.
I just don't know that many pearls, that's all.
All right, time for a final look at the showbiz beat now here on a Wednesday.
Pearl and Edna down there at the Quilton Bee.
Friday, what are you doing Friday? Here's what you're doing. You're going to come see me and Kevin Smith.
I didn't have a chance to answer.
We got two shows on Friday. We've got the 8 o'clock show, which is the final Comic-Con theater performance where we put on a live reading of a comic book. This one is one that I wrote called Batman 66 Meets the Green Hornet. It's the sixth and final issue in the miniseries. We're going to be performing that live on stage along with the help of some of the audience members. You get an autographed copy of the book if you come on out for me and Kevin Smith. That's 8 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. And then at 10 p.m., we've got Hollywood Babylon, our live show that we haven't done in a number of weeks. First time back in a while. So come and see if we remember how to do it. At 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. Go to improv.com to get all your tickets for Friday night.
Nope.com.
Love to see you there.
Ralph, your entire comic book series is out now?
Yes, all six issues.
Fantastic.
All six issues. And people have been coming just to collect the autographed comic books, I think, So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool. SAG Awards were, the nominations at least for the SAG Awards were announced this morning, and we mentioned some of them earlier in the movie category. Here are the nominees in the television categories. Outstanding Male Actor in a Comedy Series. This is a good bunch of guys. Ty Burrell for Modern Family, Louis C.K. for Louis. William H. Macy for Shameless, Jim Parsons for The Big Bang Theory, and Eric Stone Street for Modern Family.
How is Louis in the comedy?
He's hilarious. You kidding me?
In
what
the
could be
comedy
funnier?
Category.
It's funnier than Louis.
Besides, man, I feel like people aren't watching that show, but they know he's a big name.
Yeah.
Oh, you're saying the people who nominate him?
Yeah.
Well, isn't it, Ralph? Tell me how this works. But don't the people who make Louis submitted in a certain category, in the comedy category, probably, right? So if it's going to get nominated, it has to get nominated in that category.
Right. All right. That's, for example, how Nurse Jackie's Edie Falco is nominated for Outstanding Female Actress in a Comedy Series.
Not a comedy.
Not a comedy either.
Good show. Not a comedy.
Uzo Aduba.
Sure.
From Orange is the New Black, also nominated.
Crazy guys.
Julie Bowen. Edie Falco, as I mentioned, Julie Louis-Dreyfus for Veep, and Amy Poehler for Parks and Recreation. Outstanding performance by ensemble cast in a comedy series, Big Bang Theory, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Modern Family, Orange is the New Black, and Veep. Outstanding performance by a female actor in a drama series, Claire Danes, Homeland.
Viola Davis, How to Get Away with Murder. Juliana Margulies, of course, for The Good Wife. She's a perennial nominee. Robin Wright for House of Cards. Maggie Smith for Downton Abbey. And Tatiana Maslany for Orphan Black.
There we go.
Finally, a little love for her work.
Listen up, Emmys.
Outstanding male actor in a drama series, Steve Buscemi, for his final season on Boardwalk Empire. Peter Dinklage for Game of Thrones. Woody Harrelson for True Detective. Matt McConaughey also for that same show. And Kevin Spacey for House of Cards. Ensemble in a drama series, Boardwalk Empire, Downton Abbey, Game of Thrones, Homeland, and House of Cards. So,
tough competition.
It really is. A lot of good acting going on television these days. Speaking of good acting on television, Chevy Chase. Could he be back on Community next year? Well, Sony says.
They have a knockdown, drag-out fight?
Yeah, everybody hates each other over there between Chevy Chase and the Community gang. However, he was asked on Reddit on Monday night. Chevy said, I will be in a small cameo at the beginning of Community. And if they ask me to come back, I will do one or two more appearances.
Huh. They did if I recall correctly, and I love Community, but my memory's a little foggy on this, they did a couple of episodes where they just had Fred Willard play in Chevy Chase's part with no explanation.
That's awesome.
Just same character, awesome. Just pretended it was him.
That's awesome.
Not my kind of comedy.
There we go. South Park tonight, their holiday special. Tune in. You don't want to miss it. Guest stars, Iggy Azalea, Miley Cyrus, Al Pacino, U2, Angelina Jolie, and Lady Gaga. Holograms of Kurt Cobain and Michael Jackson.
That's all?
That's all.
And
it's not really them. It's a mockery of them. And apparently a very special scene between Bill Cosby offering a drink to Taylor Swift. So we got that going for us.
Our black guy.
Speaking of Cosby, yet another date on his stand-up tour has been postponed indefinitely.
Just say cancel.
As the language goes, the Des Moines Civic Center in Iowa, they have his scheduled March 7th show has been postponed indefinitely. So if you want to see him, the only available shows so far in the next couple months are Ontario, Canada. January 7th through the 9th, he's playing in Ontario because Canadians love sex offenders.
Alleged. Bill Cosby is very close to retiring, not by his choice.
Yes, being forced into retirement.
Sounds like.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Kenneth Branagh is 54 years old today. Chef Bobby Flay turns 50. Meg White turns 40. Manuel Schrieke turns 37 years old today. Raven Simone is 29. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. We have Dr. Drew on the program. We have comedian Brad Williams will be joining us again. We have Jim Rome talking sports. Very excited about that. And tickets for the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas tomorrow morning on an all new Kevin and Bean show.